Empower WYXR's mission with monthly contributions. Become a sustaining member today at sustainer.wyxr.org.
Between the Daily Memphian, Crosstown Concourse, and the University of Memphis.
Baby's on fire. Better throw her in the water. Look at her lopping like a heifer to the slaughter. Baby's on fire. And all the laughing boys are binging, waiting for photos. Oh, the plot is so bewitching. Necessary for her learning. If you'll be my flotsam, I could be half the man I used to. They said you were hot stuff, and that's what babies be reduced to.
WYXR 91.7 FM in Memphis, Tennessee, and I am Mary Jo Karimnia. I am so excited to be here on Talkin' Memphis. I am an artist and one of the owners at the Studio House on Malvern, and I have my artist partner and another artist here because we are going to talk about the upcoming open house at the Studio House on Malvern, and we're going to talk about art and all kinds of fun stuff. So I love that song. That's such a great song. Babies on Fire has really been our theme song for this week because we are all killing it in the studio. So Kiko, say hey.
Hey.
Say something else.
Hey, my name's Kiko and I'm on fire.
tell us, okay, so Kiko's based in Bolivia. Tell us a little bit about your background and tell people how we know each other.
Well, let's start there. We met while we were in college in fabulous Nacogdoches, Texas, back in 1788.
Yeah, and then that's where the space shuttle crashed.
The space shuttle crashed there. Mm-hmm. But that was after our time.
It was, not much, though. We didn't cause it.
Maybe, you never know.
True.
So then after that, my father's Bolivian, my mother's a Texan, and I've been living back and forth my whole life. But the last 30 years, I've been settled in Bolivia. And now just starting to come back, getting back into Memphis, getting back to know you back over again. And we sort of just lucked into this house, really.
So
Wad of cash.
Yeah, and, right. I'm going to ask you the question that everyone asks you whenever I introduce you, which is why Memphis? Like, why are you here?
It's all Mary Jo's fault.
Mm, true.
Memphis is a good... I always liked Memphis. We always drove through here. I always stopped here when I was living in Houston and studying in New York. Well, my parents lived in Houston. I'd always drive through, stop in Memphis. That was like the halfway point on my drive.
So, yeah, we've been making art together since, what'd you say, the
1800s?
Something like that.
The 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. All right, Matthias, it's your turn. Tell us who you are and just give us some wisdom.
Yeah, I'm the other artist. My name is Matthias. I go like Niño Grande.
Yeah, that's your handle, man.
Handle man?
It's your handle, man, comma, man.
Okay. And yeah, I'm a painter. I'm from Argentina, but I live and work in Bolivia.
And why are you in Memphis? Like, how did you get here?
This is because of Kiko.
So okay, it's just dominoes.
Yes, it's a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And we came here, I think, like 6 years ago for the first time.
Oh my gosh, has it been that long? Yeah.
I think so. It was the first year that they were doing like these residencies in Crosstown Arts, but mm-hmm. it was even before that, like just right before that. And we did kind of like the pilot kind of thing, and we stay in the dorms.
Yeah, in the apartments. Right and your wife, Jessita Jordan, who is a fabulous filmmaker.
Yes, she's a fabulous filmmaker, and she's doing a great job. She's doing her second movie now, and she at that time, she was writing this movie that she's about to do now. So.
Oh, I don't think I knew that. That's so awesome. It takes a long time to make movies.
It takes a long time, especially those kind of movies, you know, because they're like very personal and...
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing. Yeah, that's the good old days. So you might recognize me, Mary Jo Karimnia, because I've done other interviews on Talking Memphis. I was the director of the residency program at Crosstown Arts, and I worked for Crosstown Arts for 10 years, but I left my position 4 months ago to be a full-time artist, and it's just been happy days. I'm working at the studio house on Malvern that Kiko Gonzalez and I own together. Kiko, can you talk a little bit about the upcoming Hopin House? It's going to be on March 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So there's no excuses unless you are out of town. You got to drop by 418 Malvern. 418 Malvern. It's the pink house on Malvern Street, just south of the Crosstown Brewery. You cannot miss it.
So brewery.
The brewery. So tell us what's going to happen, Kiga.
Well, Saturday, last year we did it, and I had to talk Mary Jo into doing it from 11 to 11. She thought it was excessive, but it's perfect. It was excessive. But
you had to talk me into it this year, too, actually.
I wanted to do from 2 to 2, but that didn't work out. Well, no, it's great. It's just going to be a full day of art and music and special guests and installations, maybe even a little video. And everything's going to be happening. And it's a good way for us to wrap up the our season here of painting, what we've been doing with Matthias. You know, we've been working like crazy. And this sort of just ties a bow on it. So you can set it up, clean the place up, show some work, and then we're off to the airport, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So this little pink house, we each sort of have our individual studio spaces that are like exactly the same size. That worked out just great. And then there in the front part, there's a gallery, and upstairs there's a bedroom where Kiko sleeps. We've got art storage, and then a nice big front porch. And there's a window on the front porch that we have dubbed the Porch Window Gallery. And I've been curating this space. I did the first show that was there, Yangbin Park, did some prints in there. And our next show, which is also opening during the open house, is Maritza Davila. She's a printmaker and used to teach at the Memphis College of Art. And ooh, she's done this really magnificent folded book that's going to be on display in the window. And the cool thing about the Porch Window Gallery is it's open 24 hours a day. So it's lighted at night. Anyone can come by, come up on the porch, take a look, tell your friends, stuff like that. So let's talk a little bit about like what kind of artwork you make. Matthias, tell us a little. You're a painter, like you use oil paint. Tell us about like the imagery and stuff that you're working with at the moment. It's pretty fascinating.
I've been working in the same series for about a couple of years, and you know, I don't know. I've been trying to think lately what I was painting. Personally, when I start painting, I don't have a close idea of what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, over the years, it's pretty clear that I'm doing over and over the same series of things. I've been painting like gas tanks, like they are these kind of bases from different kinds of, you know, empires and very...
Okay, let's go back to the gas tank, though, and explain to people what this is. So it's like when you have your barbecue and you need gas for the barbecue,
yeah.
It's like the gray tank that you go to the store and you get that tank and you bring it home, attach it to your barbecue. But Matthias, this is something that is kind of ubiquitous in South America. It's used like way beyond barbecues.
Yeah, it's not because I love barbecues, which I do,
okay,
but
yeah.
It's not the reason why I do it. Here, I think they say it's propane tanks. If you say a propane tank, is that.
Okay.
But there in Bolivia, it's kind of totally different. Even in Argentina, it's not the same. When I moved there, I started to seeing all over the place, you know, the gas tanks on the markets, on the streets, on the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the most weird thing for me was seeing those in houses, like really nice houses, you know, like...
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen, and it's all gross, you know, covered with all different kind of things, because these propane tanks come and go.
Right, they get reused because you take them back and get them refilled, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if you buy a new one, they will give you the most disgusting one, and you have to put it in your kitchen, you know. Now it's kind of changing, so I suppose eventually they will start stopping in a certain way,
yeah.
But it is so convenient that it's hard to imagine that, and you know.
But it's stopping. They have gas now in all the houses. They
now you don't
these are disappearing.
You don't have one in your kitchen in Bolivia, right?
I do. We just never connected our gas our gas line.
You see, it's not that simple.
Some people cook, some people don't.
Well, it's really simple, but we'll do it someday.
Okay.
But no, it's disappearing. But that just gives it more strength, I think, visually,
right?
Metaphorically, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And so, Matthias, you're painting images of these gas cans, but they're not just gas cans. You're kind of transforming them into
like bases, like relics, like you know, like if it were like a Ming Dynasty kind of base, but mm-hmm. it's just a gas tank. And I'm starting to do this new series that is like a lot of gas tanks, one on top of each other, more like I find them in the market, or they're starting to look more like a wall of mm-hmm. gas tanks, like, because they also, you know, people use it for, how you say that, like cut the street?
Blockades.
Block mm-hmm. the street in different... You know,
so people are dissatisfied with something with the government and in Bolivia because things are so hilly and mountainous. It's often really easy to block the road and stop things, right?
Well, roads are really, really crucial. Like if you cut just one road, you can isolate a city because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a mountain. So you don't have a lot of different access to it, right. to the city. So blocking is kind of really something that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they use all kind of things, like big rocks or trees or mm-hmm. wherever you find. And gas tanks are everywhere, so it's easy just to use them. And but it's, for me, it's really, really amazing that nobody cares about it, but it's so important. Like, it's right. so crucial for life and everything, and it's everywhere. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of invisible at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing with that. And at the same time, I paint other things.
That's true. We'll talk some more about that, too. We'll talk some more about Kiko's work, but let's play a song.
Yeah.
Baby's on fire.
Over again.
Mary Jo Karimnia on WYXR 91.7 FM in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm here with artists Kiko Gonzalez and Matias Petadella, also known as Nino Grande. So we were talking a little bit about Matias's imagery. So Kiko, can you tell us a little bit about your like non-imagery? What are you working on?
Right now, I was just thinking about I'm going to start going as Viejo Gordo. No, but I've been working, I've been painting for 40 years, and pretty much this, you know, never the same twice painting, getting more and more abstract. I like to think that, but then I look at it and it's just a bunch of, it's so cyclical. Sometimes you go into the figure, mm-hmm. sometimes you go away from the figure, and it's just an endless circle, an endless snake eating itself.
I've been watching you paint for those 40 years, and it's been like really interesting for me to watch your process too. Because I mean, I see like right now you've kind of gone back around to your origins, and you're doing a lot of vessels. Tell us about that. Like,
well, the vessels. My wife's always bugging me to do vessels again. She really liked that series. That was back in early in the aughts, mm-hmm. and it was very successful for me in a lot of ways. And Susie, my wife's always been pushing me, go back to the vessels, go back to the vessels. I never really wanted to. It was like going back and re-recording your hits or whatever.
Well, it's about time.
But it's been a good way to work out these problems I've been creating for myself in the paintings. Mm-hmm. But I consider myself just a pure painter. What are you doing? What does it mean? Why did it's just. It's painting. It's its own language. It's its own medium. It doesn't tell a story. It doesn't. It's not a literary device or anything like that. It you have to keep it true to itself. What does it mean? It means itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to work that out. I think defining painting with each painting
mm-hmm. over and over again.
Over and over again. Each painting is a definition of what a painting is. So it's never the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. These guys came to Memphis about a month ago, and they came in at like 10:30 at night, and I picked them up from the airport, and then I dropped them off at the studio house, and by like 10 o'clock the next morning, they had like 10 giant canvases all stretched and ready to go. And a lot of the work is really big. Sometimes it's like multiple canvases, and like... you can hardly walk in the studio sometimes. There's like just paintings everywhere. It's really, really fabulous. And then I guess I'll talk a little bit about my work too, because I'm an artist at the Studio House on Malvern. And
We're going to go to the song.
I could say something mean, but I'm not going to do that.
save it for the studio. Save it for Saturday. You can come watch us fight.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. But anyway, yeah, so my work, I've worked with a lot of vintage images from postcards, and like I recreate them or embellish them and enlarge and embellish them with seed beads or with this process called flocking, which makes like a very soft surface on the surface. And now I've been since I'm a full-time artist now, I've been messing around with collage, and so I'm trying to get bigger, so we're all making big giant things. I feel just a little bit competitive, but these guys are way bigger than mine, but that's okay. So I think I wanted to bring up your son Sean, because Sean Gonzalez happens to be in the artist residency right now. Can you talk about what he's doing?
Sean who? What? Sean. Oh, my boy.
It's middle child.
He's always been very talented. Whatever he wanted to do, he was able to do it. And as a young kid, I say, oh, you're cursed. He's a musician. So, yeah, I know. But he's been doing really good. He got into the residency. He's at Grandma's house, which is four doors down from us. So we get to
very
see him.
Very handy. Yeah, he comes every day. What's for lunch?
And it's great seeing him. It's great seeing all the what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really good. And there's, I keep telling him that he's worried. Where do I go? How do I make a life with this? I was like, don't worry about it, son. You have talent, and talent is rare, mm-hmm. and good art is rare. So you really have to just dedicate yourself to doing good stuff.
Plus, he does have that curse, too. Like, it's unavoidable.
The art curse?
The art curse.
The whole family. Our whole family is just cursed with artists.
It's true.
Writers and musicians. And
yeah, his Kiko's daughter, Matisse, is in Germany, and she's actually doing a full-length animated film on this topic. I can't wait for that. It'll be a few years.
It'll be a few years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an 8-year project, maybe 5 to 8 year project. Mm-hmm. Drive me crazy. I can't spend 2 days on a piece. Imagine 5 years. It's nuts. But she's very talented as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredibly talented. She's won tons of prizes.
She was in that. She was in the Indie Film Festival here last year. That was really fun. That was the first time I went to the film festival, like every single day. By like the fourth day, I was like, I cannot watch another movie. But I got over that. So it was good to have Matisse here.
Well, it's great to have kids that are artists and actually talented, so you don't have to lie to them. It's really good. I love it.
Well, we can't leave out Liam. He's coming next week as
Liam's
well.
Liam's my youngest kid. Mm-hmm. He's in Berlin right now, actually in Potsdam. He's studying how to pretty much just figure out why all artists are just
jerks.
The worst part of the bourgeoisie. You know, he's studying Marx, and he's going through Kant, rebel. Marx, and a little bit of Freud, and oh man, he's just driving us crazy. He's totally based. Totally based.
I can't wait to see Liam. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, probably 5 years, and he got to be like an adult and everything now, so I get to harass him in a different sort of way.
He'll prove he don't exist.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. And tell us about your filming. Tell us more about what Jessita's working on. She's coming next week as well for all the festivities. Everybody's coming except Matisse, which we're really sad about. But Matisse is in France, so la-di-da. So, but Jessita's coming.
Yeah, Jessita is also working with Matisse in the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And also she's doing a short film now that she's finishing.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's in New York right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's doing the sound and finishing all the editing of that movie. She was doing in Cochabamba in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's using some of the same actors and characters that are going to be in the longer version, because she's doing a movie at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Her second movie.
So this is like a short story that's going to become a novel for the movie, sort of like that?
It's sort of like that. It's kind of more free in a way, because she did this so she can kind of test the waters with all the team and all the actors, and also the story in a way, because it's the same character. And it's really hard to find an actor to play the main role for the movie, because it's a singer, and it's also, you know, you have to be really young, but you want an actor with experience. So you know, the story of the film is like this girl that is looking for her father, and mm-hmm. is just run away from the community, and is all by herself in El Alto in Bolivia, and she's, you know, singing and trying to figure it out how to be by herself. So I think she found her actress.
Okay. Is she here in the U.S. or in Bolivia?
The actress?
Yeah.
No, she's in Bolivia. She's from Bolivia. But she has a lot of experience to doing films. She's in another two films already. Mm-hmm. And I think she's like 12 or 13.
Wow.
So she's kind of rare to find. So that was good. And
it's crazy. I don't know how films ever get made. They're so complicated.
Well, they take years to do, mm-hmm. and a lot of money. And people who make films don't have money. So it's like, how do they do that? And
they have to be a badass.
They have to be really talented. And you have to be able to explain your ideas and your movie, which is a lot. Just talking about it in 1 minute, maybe. So it's which is all the opposite of the media, because the media is all the senses at the same time. It's music, it's you know, it's images, and it's so strong, it's so in your face when it's finished. But to make it, you have to have the seed, like the most abstract you know, version of it, which is so weird. It's kind of reverse engineer a piece of art.
Mm.
And she's doing a great job. And since she was little, she was so obvious that she wanted to be a filmmaker. Like, she was a kid and she was like, you know, asking for a camera, and nobody, you know, was
obviously cursed.
And she started, you know, like selling candles and doing all kind of shits, like convincing people to give her money. And she eventually bought the first camera and started like shooting weddings and stuff. But she was really little. And
it's so great.
Yes, she made her first movie like with all her friends,
mm-hmm.
and make acting like everybody.
And that's how you met too, was through the movie industry, right?
Well, we met when we were older, obviously.
Well, yeah, now when you were 12. But
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. We met in Argentina,
uh-huh.
because she started like a, you know, this company, like a studio animation.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love animation. I always work in animation. And I was doing like character design, background designs, and all kind of mood boards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to start learning like 3D and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I found this studio, which I found out because they were all young. They were right. all my age, but
young
they were running
hungry.
A studio doing advertising. Like, that was crazy. And I was like, what's going on here? And it was all because of Yashida. She was behind all of these
right.
people that I knew before. And I was like, these guys, it's not possible they are doing this. And,
mm-hmm.
and I met her, and she was like, you know, she was the boss.
Right.
She was
Tony Soprano.
She was Tony Soprano, 1,000%.
And then she's like, I'm marrying you.
Exactly.
All right.
And I was like, okay, boss.
Yeah. That's perfect for another song. Let's go ahead to another song. And again, you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Thank you.
We're back at WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, and this is Mary Jo Kirimnia, and I am with Nino Grande, also known as Matias Petadella, painter, and Kiko Gonzalez, other painter, and we are talking about painting and art and the open house, studio house open house at the Studio House on Malvern. It is Saturday, March 2nd from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., so you have no excuse for not coming by. Just drop in. And it's at 418 Malvern, which is just south of the Crosstown Concourse building. And we are going to have some different performances during the day. The Pizza Witches are going, probably around noon, are going to do like some kind of dance ceremony. We don't even know exactly what yet. And then the flute duo, If Dot Else, which consists of Jenny Davis and Philip Snyder, at 9 p.m., they're going to make some crazy flute music, so definitely don't miss that. And then, during the day, we're going to have music by Sean Gonzalez, who happens to be Kiko's son, and that song we just played happens to be his song. Huh? What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. It's the most expensive act of the, of the day. Charging me crazy.
So yeah, it's going to be like a really fun day. This is our second annual Studio House open house. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So being from South America, you two lovely artists, tell us a little bit about what art is like in South America. What's the art scene like there? Like, all right, they're doing... rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to answer this question. Who lost?
I lost. So I
okay, go for it, Kiko.
Well, there's a very big painting tradition in La Paz, especially. I live in La Paz. Matias is in Santa Cruz now. La Paz is the typical Bolivia that you think about when you think about Bolivia. Mountains and Lake Titicaca and the Cholitas and, you know, really steep hills. And Santa Cruz is just the tropics. It's totally different. They're like two completely different countries. But anyway, in La Paz, there's a very rich painting tradition. Pretty much any house you go to, it doesn't matter the social level, amount of money, people have original artwork in their house. It's great.
True.
And so there's a lot of shows, a lot of openings, a lot of movement. But the artwork tends to be very clean, I think is the word.
And that's interesting. Like, in what way? What do you mean by that?
It's just, overdone. You know? There's no, like, can you clean up the drips in that painting? You know, I really like it. You know, things like that. They actually asked me that.
Really? But I'll buy
this painting if you take the drips out.
How do you fit into this clean art scene? Because your artwork
He's got that paint. I mean, it's got to be a little messy. It's got to be, you know, to walk the line between the messiness, say, of the Germans, you know, and the overly clean, especially Andean, you know, Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia. They tend to clean it up very much. And they tend to overuse imagery. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot about suffering and, you know, social injustice that permeates the work that just drives me crazy.
Mm.
I think it's a misuse of the medium.
You think? I don't know. I might argue that one. Art has always been part of social justice.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
I like the idea of having like a healthy spectrum, right? Like if it's all one thing or the other, that's like if it's all just one thing, that's not a healthy art scene.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's overdone there. There's a lot of, they really love the realism, hyper-realism, especially when I think about just, believe it or not right now, just think of there's so many paintings of old women's faces, just the suffering of the poor.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, how much is that? Oh, it's a $10,000 painting, you know?
That's interesting.
So it doesn't really work that way.
So it sort of relates to the gas cans in the kitchen, the expensive houses too, in a way.
Maybe.
What else you hate, Kiko?
What else? I hate. No, but I love La Paz because they received me and I was able just to, you know, just go in with a scissor kick, you know. Show big paintings, really messy work, a lot different, pure abstraction. I remember when I was going to school here into the 80s and the 90s, and I was going crazy with postmodern theory and just what does it mean? Everything has to be really deep, and painting was dead already in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to Bolivia, and I was trying to escape postmodernism, I moved to Bolivia, they haven't gotten to modernism yet, you know?
So, yeah.
So I pretty much started that there. It's like, let's you know, this is a small enough place where you can actually make a difference.
Yeah, you've definitely been a part of the culture there.
You can. I started a school.
Yeah. Yeah, you've started a couple of artist-run galleries, too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there was just, I do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to show it. Mm-hmm. I like to get it out of the studio. Studio's too chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mainly for me, just to see it hanging in a white box, say.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see where it is. Is it any good? Is it any more work? Whatever. So we started our own galleries with a really famous Bolivian artist, Gaston Ugalde. Mm-hmm. We've worked together for ages.
And just passed away.
He recently passed away. But we've had three or four galleries with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your own space.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. And they were never to make money.
Right.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was just to have the show.
And Erica.
Erica Elwell has been my partner for the last, 8 years or so.
Yeah.
It's been great. You have your own space. You can do whatever you want. You can
right.
do this. Don't. That's what I tell everybody. Take advantage of places. Practically free to right. show there.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about selling. Don't sell here.
Mm-hmm.
This is an advertisement for yourself. Do an installation. Do a huge painting or, one tiny one right in the middle of the wall. Take advantage of it.
So the way it was structured is like you and these other two artists like had regularly scheduled shows throughout the year. You would kind of divide up some time. But you also had other artists. Did you show there too, Matias, right? Did you show at Puro?
I show in the first space. It was
Blanco?
Called Blanco, yeah.
I showed there too, man.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why I'm calling you man, but that's what I'm doing tonight, man.
Okay, man. We miss it that time because I didn't show your show.
I don't know. We didn't know each other that time, but that's okay.
But for like nothing, we miss each other that time.
Yeah.
But that was a really cool space. It was like an old house in the south of the city.
Yeah.
And then
but like in the downtown area, like.
Well, no, sort of like more like midtown.
Midtown. Okay. Yeah. So how do you feel like the studio house on Malvern relates to your past endeavors?
I see it as different. It's more of a studio.
Right.
And I see it more as a place to work than anything. And the gallery, especially Blanco, which means white and target at the same time.
Right.
The play of words. Was a space where you could show. We had a lot of music. We always had big openings with music and installations.
And alcohol.
That's ubiquitous in our shows. But it was key.
Right.
We'd always invite a big musical guest to come in. Mm-hmm. I filmed a drummer in this back room we had. It was like a installation space.
Uh-huh.
We closed it off and just had a little peephole that you could see him, and he was projected on all the walls. It was so cool.
That's so great.
Great space. And we had great shows. We had great shows there. That was really nice. And then when we moved, we lost that space and we moved to a more traditional space, just a rectangular white space.
With nice big windows on the front. I like that space too, though.
It was a good space, but it felt more like a commercial gallery, which we really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought I got that. We're not a commercial gallery.
Right.
I
found myself explaining that about the studio house on Malvern, too. We had someone stop by the other day, and they're like, are you open? And like, it's not a retail outlet. It's a studio space. So, like, when we have these events, we're inviting the public into our studio space. You know, we hang work up, things like that. But the main priority of this space is to make artwork. And it's happening there like every single day.
Well, yeah, I think, see, the open house is more than a show. It's really just come and hang out. I mean, because it's
drink a beer.
The showing space is not that big. So you see, I don't know, a couple pieces of Nino's, a couple pieces of mine. So it's not really.
You'll see a lot see of mine because my work's a lot smaller, so I'll be having a bunch.
But it's easy to come and get to know the place, get to know the artist, and see more than an actual show in a gallery. I'm trying to get away from those.
Yeah, it's really funny because when Kiko's son came, it was his first time there, and he said, this space has, what do you say,
zero chilling potential.
Which I disagree with. But there'll be plenty of chilling potential at the opening. So
it has chilling potential. We just haven't been using it.
Well, right.
It's a workspace right now.
I know.
Now.
I think he was objecting to there not being a TV, actually. I think that was his main
point. He wants the monitor. He wants the...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bring your own.
Bring your own monitor.
Yeah. Bring your own.
Well, right now, we're just shoveling pieces around because there's no... We're looking for wall space. Where do I...
Yeah, we've been doing studio visits with, I don't know, certain dignitaries in town. And that's really fun. And everyone is just always really impressed with all the giant painting shuffling that the two of you do. It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty good because we have a spiel already. We can just press play.
That's what we're doing right now. So let's press play on some music for a minute here.
All right, what are we going to listen to?
All right, I don't know, but here it comes.
Here comes music.
Despertar mojado luego de sufrir palizas, tiempo de sentir que siempre habrá una cura, una nueva flor, caricias. Trance, más que una razón, esa perla oscura es fruto del dolor, la duda.
Karimia, WYXR 91.7 FM in Memphis, Tennessee, here with Kiko Gonzalez and Matias Petadella, also known as El Nino Grande. The Nino Grande. What's your thing, your handle?
Man. Nino.
Man.
Yeah, it's just like Nino.
Nino. Like okay, yeah. You're too big to be a Nino, though. That's not.
Well, that's why it worked. If it was short, it'd be, hey, Nino. Said, shut up.
So, yeah. Okay. So, we're super excited because we are hosting a Studio House open house on March 2nd from 11 to 11 at 418 Malvern. And everybody should come by and check it out. And we'll probably have some, like, we have several things happening during the day. Music, a dance performance. There might even be a really amazing shadow show on the front of the house by Nelson Gutierrez, but don't tell him I said this on the radio. He wants it to be a surprise, so if you come, just come. That'll be in the evening, probably around sunset. And also, please shake all your rattles and say all your prayers for good weather on that day, because that's what we really want. We want to be able to hang out outside as well if we can, because we got a nice little yard there happening. What else y'all want to say? What's a good topic for a couple of minutes here? So when you go back home, what's happening next? Where do you go next?
I got nothing this year. Oh, I'm so happy. We just closed the gallery in La Paz.
Yeah.
Because Gaston passed away. I always felt it would be like Zeppelin, you know? You just don't get a new drummer and keep the band going. Stop the band right there. So I got nothing. It's so great. It's been so long since I had shows in sight.
I feel that. After leaving my job, you know, people are like, oh, are you going to apply this residency? You know, you going to apply for this? And I'm like, no. I want a good year in the studio. Like, I kind of don't want to be distracted. I want to see where work's going to go. I have a lot of things that are sort of pent up over so many years of, like, just basically working long hours. And so I got to let all that stuff come out. It's my decade.
Yeah, Nino's the only one who has it.
What do you got coming up
this year?
Yeah, tell us about your exciting life.
Yes.
Nino.
I love deadlines. So I have a show in Mexico in April, I think.
Yeah.
And then I have another show in Bolivia, in Cochabamba, in Patiño, Simón Patiño. Have you been there in Cochabamba?
Simón Patiño? Was that a gallery name?
It's a museum, and it's like an old palace that it was belonged to Simón Patiño, that was like the richest man in the planet.
I think I was probably
was
there.
The richest man on
really?
The planet. Yeah.
Oh wow! And you got a show coming up at Kiosko too, but don't you?
Not like Elon Musk. He was like different.
Oh, okay. Richest man in.
Richest man, yeah, because he was like into
tin mine. He had a
thin mine.
The tin mines.
Oh, tin mines. Oh. So, yeah, those great big old Bolivian houses with a big courtyard in the middle, like that sort of a museum.
No, this is a more of a European palace.
Oh, I can't wait.
He kind of copied part of the Vatican in certain parts, but it's, you know, you have to see it. You never seen the...
I think I have.
Maybe.
Was that where Raquel had those big swings in that pink room covered with fur?
No, that was in a biennial.
That was a different... Okay.
He had a pope killed, I think.
Oh, well...
He was so rich.
Oh, that's so funny. So, all right, y'all. So, come to the Studio House on Malvern at 418 Malvern Street, just south of the brewery. If you can't remember it, just walk south of the Crosstown Brewery and look for the Pink House. March 2nd from 11 to 11. And I think we're ready to play some music out. So thanks so much, you guys, for just talking about really interesting stuff. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank
WYXR.
I had to read it off the wall. So I wouldn't make a mistake.
91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's WYXR 91.7 FM. Thanks to Nino Grande, Kiko, and Mary Jo Karimnia for a great talk in Memphis. Again, the Studio House over there, open house Saturday, March 2nd, All day affair, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Featuring music all day long and great art. Great art. So go check that out. Let's see. What do we got? We got, you know, we're going to do an encore presentation here coming up at the top of the hour.
Hold on, let me play something.
Sorry, I had to switch over because we'll do an encore presentation coming up at 8 o'clock of The Other Side featuring Ben Shulman, his penultimate episode. That's right. He's got one more coming up this Friday. He's been with us for a couple of years. Great show Friday morning and just retiring it. And so we'll play his episode from this past Friday coming up for an hour. And then, of course, the new Untitled show with Tim and Steve from 9 to 10. Sam Shansky for the Shansky Shuffle. And after that, and ending the live programming tonight with Sarah's Witching Hour. All right. Y'all have a great Monday. And we'll... We don't ever turn off.
Doors to our hall are opening once again for The Pull-Up, an open house styled event highlighting WYXR and our neighbors in Crosstown Concourse. Come out to the free event Thursday, February 29th at 6 p.m. to peruse the floor of our HQ. Meet community creatives at the nearby Memphis Listening Lab, America Photo Studio, and Dragonfly Collective. Stick and stay for WYXR DJs Ross Al Ghul and Natalie Hoffman, and a live performance by the Tennessee Screamers. For more info, visit WYXR.org/events.
Support for WYXR comes from Grind City Festival, a two-day music and arts festival featuring Whiskey Myers, Charlie Crockett, Muscadine Bloodline, Nikki Lane, The Red Clay Strays, and more, taking place April 5th and 6th at Grind City Brewing Company in Uptown Memphis. Tickets available at GrindCityFest.com.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has invested $94 million into our local arts community to teach, uplift, unite, and engage Memphians of all ages and zip codes.
Support for WYXR comes from Tresvent. Located in the heart of Memphis at 177 North Highland, Tresvent is where culture and community come together, offering independent living apartments and garden homes ranging from 650 to 3,000 square feet, as well as all levels of care in assisted living, memory support, and a 5-star health and rehab center. More information to schedule a tour at TresventManor.org.
Man, I listen to 91.7 since 1983 every day, and I see the salt and season that's pulled into y'all. It's about love and hope. Thanks, man. I'm trying to hold down myself, man. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Woo! Support for WYXR comes from Feast and Graze, offering luxury grazing boxes, cheese and charcuterie platters, and tables for any occasion. Free delivery available within Shelby County, a new storefront with High Pea Hour Wellness opening this spring in Poplar Plaza Shopping Center. More information at Feast and